This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello, this is Talking Devils, the leading independent Manchester United podcast brought to you in association with TalkSport Fan Network, which we're very proud to be on. I'm your host, Wayne Barton, joined by former United youth player Phil Marsh to talk over the last week at Manchester United. If you're watching live on YouTube or Facebook, feel free to put your comments and questions in. If you're watching the replay, feel free to say hello. We do reply to every comment that we get. And also, if you're watching back on Twitter, I think that it should be airing on Twitter now. I'll just double check. Yep, looks like it is. If you're watching on Twitter, if you try and get your questions in underneath the tweet, I'll try and get as many as I can while we're live. So if you are watching live on Twitter, just comment underneath the tweet and I'll try and get to any questions that you might have. Like I said, I'm joined by Phil Marsh. How are you doing, Phil? You all right?
Yeah, all good. Thanks, Wayne. Good week for me. Back doing some training and stuff. So after a long layoff, I'm starting to sort of gradually feel like a little bit more normality and routines coming back into my life. But yeah, obviously, you know, just good to be back doing a little bit, and obviously great to have the football back, albeit it wasn't a stellar performance on Monday night. But, you know, 3 points is 3 points. And, as I say, just glad to have the football back.
Yeah, I don't know what you're saying. It's not a stellar performance. We'll get to that straight away. We'll talk about United 1, Wolves 0. Like I said, just give me a chance to catch up on Twitter. If you're watching on Twitter, feel free to ask us any questions underneath the tweet that the video's streaming in. And obviously, if you're watching on YouTube or Facebook, if you just make a comment and then in the usual way, and then we'll get to that if we can. Okay, so United 1, Wolves 0. Phil, very much a case of, you know, we were saying before, you know, Wolves with the timeless in reputation, they've just changed the manager and it's Gary O'Neill coming in, expecting there to be a lot of time wasted and everything like that. And really, you know, it was a difficult watch. But Wolves, you know, they were fairly adventurous. You couldn't really put the blame at their door for it being a poor game. That was really United looking sluggish, actually looking like it was an end-of-season game from last season. It really looked like it was a first pre-season game, which is a bit of a surprise considering that we were quite vibrant against Lawns in the last Old Trafford friendly. There was none of that against Wolves. It took a long time to get going. Really fortunate that Wolves were profligate with the finishing. And, you know, there were a few times where they broke through the midfield. I think United, what they really struggled with was the fact that, you know, Gary O'Neill had come in and they were going to be unpredictable, that they were going to set up. And it took for a long period really for United to get settled into the game. If they ever really did, they had one good passage from which the goal came, and then really apart from that, for the last sort of 15 minutes, Wolves were attacking and they looked like they were playing against 10 men, the amount of space that they were creating. And you might put that down to Mount being a little bit anxious on his first Old Trafford game. Bruno not really complying with tactical instructions, you know, a bit anxious to get on the score sheet or to add a second goal. It was leaving Casemiro in a difficult position. and he didn't have the best of games either. So, you know, mixed bag all round, really. Rashford not really impressing as well. Really deflating. But United won the game, and you know, we'll get to Onana in a little bit as well. We'll get to all the incidents, like the goal and Onana in a little bit, but what did you think of the game overall? Do you think United deserved to win, or do you think they got away with it?
Yeah, I think, firstly, just before we obviously move on to the United performance, I think it'd be a little bit unjust if we didn't mention and give credit to Wolves. I thought they was outstanding on the night. A totally, really uncharacteristic performance, what I think a lot of us were expecting. I think, you know, they was on the front foot. They was really lively. I think they won the majority of the individual battles on the night. And, you know, they was first to all the second balls. They looked stronger, fitter, sharper all over the pitch. So I think, you know, maybe underestimating them a little bit on the night played into maybe some of the way that the game panned out. But yeah, just thought I'd give them a little plug on that because I thought they was very good on the night and very, very unlucky to not come away with anything from the game. Touching on ourselves, yeah, I thought, you know, we started the game pretty slow and sort of didn't really look at the races from minute one for me. I thought the midfield was probably the biggest issue throughout the 90 minutes. I think Casemiro was sort of getting exposed and left at times on his own. And we've seen it, you know, three or four times during the game that the Wolves midfield was, you know, carrying the ball from their own half towards the edge of our 18-yard box, which shouldn't be happening. I think, you know, part of that, again, is maybe down to the discipline of some of our midfielders. You know, maybe Mount, maybe should have realised on the maybe second or third time that was happening that he maybe needed to sit a little bit deeper and give a little bit more protection and help to Casemiro. But again, that maybe comes down to, you know, not giving Wolves the credit that they maybe deserves and maybe, you know, a little bit sort of, you know, setting up in a way that, you know, you probably thought that wouldn't have been the case on the night and just sort of not dealing with it during the game, you know, the man management type of thing. So again, I think, you know, that comes down to the experienced players and the leaders on the pitch being able to sort that out and deal with that during the game, which didn't happen. I think overall, you know, Wolves were far the better team. However, we did show little bits of resilience at times and sort of got through them tricky spells without conceding. I think a lot of that, you know, as well came down to a little bit of luck and them not having that, you know, proper centre forward who's going to maybe, you know, be clinical and score the goals. But again, you know, you do need a little bit of luck at times in games. And I think, you know, we did ride our luck. And when we did get that opportunity, you know, it was a well-taken goal. Wan-Bissaka got in a good area. I thought he was probably, you know, one of the only positives on the night, really. I thought he had a decent game and sort of, you know, looked the most lively, if you like. And I thought it was a good little ball into an area where someone could go and attack it. And luckily Varane was in there and put that away. But yeah, it was definitely not a stellar performance. I thought a lot of players looked off the pace, looked sluggish, didn't look at the races. I think before the game, I was happy that maybe Garnacho got the start, but obviously he was very underwhelming and didn't really live up to the billing, if you like, and sort of rise to the occasion, which can happen. He's a young lad. He's you know, going to have ups and downs and maybe games where he doesn't sort of, you know, cut the mustard. But I think, yeah, it was just one of them games where, you know, it's the first game, we'll come away from it and think, you know, we've got away with murder, really, and got the 3 points. But obviously, we need to vastly improve and quickly, because I think the games are only going to get harder from here on in.
Yeah, Dan says, evening, Dan, hope you're well. Looking forward to seeing you next week, mate. He says, do you think the players were not fit and ready? Was it anxiety or perhaps we got the tactics wrong? Do you think a little bit of all of that, right, Phil? I mean, it's like, fit. I mean, fitness might be a bit harsh, but the other two, certainly.
I think a lot of it as well is comes down to we had a very hectic pre-season schedule. So there's a lot of travelling, there's a lot of games, you know, there was a lot of players, you know, coming back from, you know, World Cups and whatever. So I think the pre-season was quite heavy. We played a lot of games, a lot of travelling. Some of the players, obviously, there was a little break as well in between that, sort of before the season started. So, you know, again, that begs the question to, you know, have certain players not, you know, prepared themselves and looked after themselves in the best way that they could have done and got themselves in the best shape for ready for the start of the season. You'd expect this day and age and sort of, you know, I mean, a first game at Old Trafford, the players should have been chomping at the bit to come out and put on a performance and try and put a marker down, really, for the rest of the teams to look at us and say, you know, we're you know, going to have a good go at it again this year after a sort of positive year last year, and showing that progression. But, yeah, as I say, it didn't really work out that way. Obviously, you know, you've got to put into consideration as well, there's new signings who's come in, so it's going to take a little bit of time to gel and sort of, you know, for everyone to sort of find the feet and make them relationships work. But I just think it was a very, very flat and underwhelming performance. And as I say, we sort of was very, very lucky, really, to come away with the 3 points. I thought Wolves were at least, you know, good for a point on the night. And as I say, you know, we are going to have to improve massively. And whether that's a tinker in the formation or personnel against Tottenham, obviously, we'll obviously time will tell with that. But I think certainly we need to, you know, step up the performance if we are going to, you know, get anything out of that game.
Yeah, it's funny looking at that. I mean, we'll talk about Onana in a minute, because obviously Onana deserves a comment section all of his own from us too, for his mixed performance on Monday, which did get them the match, we should say. But yeah, I think throughout the team, if you look through it, you're damn right in terms of saying that Wan-Bissaka was the best player. I thought he was outstanding. I know Man of the Match was given to him, but I thought Wan-Bissaka picked up where he left off last season. And I think that's, even in Robbie, he'll be doing all right, mate. I think that's the point for me, is that Wan-Bissaka, all of these players as individuals, apart from Varane and Martinez and Casemiro, because Casemiro's got his own, you might include Fernandes in this number as well, that they've got their own legacies in terms of like what they provide and everything like that. But there are a number of individuals like Shaw, even Rashford, with the new contracts and everything like that. These players who maybe have one good season and then one poor season, a lot of pressure on these players to sort of step up, but particularly a player like Shaw, that, you know, he was so good last season. And we've often said with Shaw, well, he's a great responder to competition. And now he might be looking at that and saying, this is my first team place. That's when he generally gets complacent, or Rashford. There's room for complacency in his game, because there's, you know, you would think he's going to start somewhere across that forward line. He's possibly the only one who's guaranteed to start across that forward line. So you're looking at those players and really hoping that the complacency or the pressure of that the second season of, like, they played well, they're not going to play well, because they really, really need to kick on. There's a massive weight on their shoulders. I don't want to add to it, but it's there. You can't avoid that. For those two players in particular, Shaw and Rafa, they've really got to step up again, and they've got to add that consistency to their game if United are... let's be frank there. Like, Shaw is 10 years at the club. Rashford is sort of, is he like seven or 8 years in the first team now? We're talking about players who they've, and I'm not saying this is like my level of expectancy, but the level of expectancy that's delivered by the club, if they want long-term careers, or if Shaw is going to be remembered in the way that he wants to be remembered and that his talent is there to be, they've got to start challenging for titles. And yes, right, I don't think that the team or the squad is ready for that. I don't think we're good enough, because I think City are by far and away, for multiple reasons, they're the best squad and the best team that should be expected to win it. But from United's perspective, in terms of accumulating the level of consistency in the other 36 games, that's the weight of responsibility that's on those players. We know that in those 36 games, the points to win the title can be achieved. So as much as I will say that against about City, it's still the point that the points are there to be won in the other games. And this is where these players are. And that's why I feel a little bit of sympathy for them on Monday night, because you're already starting as the 10th game. Everyone, Arsenal's already won, City have already won quite comfortably. Yeah, all right, Liverpool. And Spurs didn't, and Chelsea didn't, but the main two contenders for the title have already got points on the bag, and United are points on the board. United are expected to win and win well against an opponent that's traditionally frustrated them, Old Trafford, very much like a cat and mouse kind of thing. So I do have a little bit of sympathy in that regard. Let's talk about Onana then. Man of the match, he was officially given. Made some great saves. There was one that he made with his legs. I know David De Gea was great at saving with his body, like unorthodox saves all the time. But there was one that Onana made with his legs that I thought maybe in recent years David would have let in. So I thought, oh, all right, he's making unpredictable saves in that same kind of manner. And then, of course, there was a great pass out to Garnacho at one point, which started an attack, although we didn't do anything with it. And then there was the incident at the end where, you know, if we're going to say you've seen them given, you might even flash back to that one that was Southampton last season where one wasn't given. But normally you look at that and I thought that's a penalty on first watch. All right. On second watch, I can see where people are making that argument that, you know, that he's won the ball, kind of, or the ball's already gone. So, oh yeah, he didn't win the ball. The ball's already gone. So should it be a penalty? All that sort of stuff. I can see that argument, but I thought it should have been a penalty, and it would have probably then ended in a disappointing way for United and Onana. But what did you make of his debut?
Yeah, no, I agree. I thought his performance really overall was pretty solid. I thought his distribution was good. You know, the saves that he did make, I thought, you know, you'd expect a keeper of his calibre to make them saves. But, you know, he dealt with everything pretty well. As I say, you know, Wolves were probably the better team in terms of chances created and the chances they did have. You know, when they did hit the target, you know, he was up to the task. I thought, as I said, you know, overall his performance was good. I agree, obviously, the penalty for me was a penalty. I think he's sort of came and just, you know, into a bit of a no man's land and just probably thought he could get something on it. And he has clattered into the Wolves centre forward. And we have definitely got away with one there, I think. For me, personally, that's my own take on it. But again, with VAR decisions, you'll sort of get the rub of the green one week. And then, you know, in a couple of weeks' time, we'll probably get a decision where we're looking at it and saying, you know, what's going on. So I think they do even themselves out over the course of the season. So although from Wolves' point of view, you know, you're probably fuming and kicking yourself that you haven't, you know, been given that decision and maybe come away with a point, I think, you know, throughout the season they do sort of even themselves out. So it could be a case where we're looking at one in a couple of weeks' time and saying, you know, how's that been given, and we've probably dropped points. So yeah, but on Onana, yeah, I think he looked pretty solid. It was a good debut. As I say, you know, a clean sheet on his debut would have been what he was looking for, you know, albeit with that penalty shout, you know, probably overshadowing the sort of performance.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about United Healthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
But again, you know, you can build on that and I think he'll learn from that. I think that'll be a learning curve for him now with, you know, coming for crosses, maybe. You know, sometimes I think as a goalkeeper, you want that from your goalkeeper, where he's coming clattering people and trying to take people out and you know, get the ball clear or whatever. But I think that one the other night was probably just because it was the last minute and it was sort of, you know, a little bit frantic and Wolves were pushing for that equaliser. I think it was just a little bit maybe of rush of blood from him, and you know, he's just made a bit of a judgmental error, and we have got away with one there.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, a solid start in every other regard. You know, he looked dominant in the box. He came for a lot of crosses and everything like that, and a lot of character, which you are going to need if you're a goalkeeper at Manchester United and won't succeed for sure. A couple of comments to get to. Stuart, evening mate, it'll be all right. If Lee Jetsons is again on next Friday's pod, I'll give you a shout out if you want to come on. But Lee, yeah, he's otherwise engaged at the moment again. He says, evening Wayne, Phil, agree totally with your assessment so far. Common sense during games is pivotal, but so is in-game reading, something we liked on Monday. Yeah, I don't know, again, if I put that down to the anxiety. And as well, when you've got a player like Garnacho, who is, his instinct is to run players and try and get behind players. You've got Fernandez, who tries the risky stuff, and then you've got Rashford, who a lot of times, a little bit like Rooney in a way. I know they're very different kind of players, but if they've got too much time on the ball, their deliberation often costs them. If you understand, that sounds like it's a bit of an oxymoron with players of that quality, but you would find it with Rooney. They've got a second to shoot or a second to score, a second to make something happen. They generally do. Rashford's the same. If he's doing it, if he's got to do it very quickly, something good will generally happen. But if he's got time, often it can go down a blind alley. And United do have, like, when you've got three forwards like that, and Anthony as well, who is predominantly right side, then, you know, it does make it a little bit difficult for some of the players. Well, it did on Monday night, especially an opponent. Like, you know, Wolves are still defensively resolute, and they restricted United to very few chances, as can be proven by the fact that you've got a centre-back going up and finding the space to score and Wan-Bissaka breaking the line to make the assist. I mean, that says it all about how obstinate Wolves were in defence. Robbie says Onana was much deeper than in pre-season. Yeah, that's definitely true. He was. He started, you know, I was looking for that, and definitely no chance of him getting lobbed from the halfway line this time round. And Robbie says, oh, for the Brentford game, I don't know when that is. That's September, that, isn't it? United have got a run of a few home games at Saturday at 3 o'clock, which is a miracle. I can tell you that from last season. It was a rare thing, it always is a rare thing indeed. So next on the agenda is Spurs tomorrow, 5:30 kickoff afternoon, away from home. And they won't have Harry Kane. They drew 2-2 with Brentford. Very entertaining game last week, Phil. I don't know if you caught it. First half was a thrill a minute. And then the second half was a bit dull as both teams sort of calmed down a little bit. Spurs do look enterprising. There's that element about the game you're curious about to see how they'll develop in post-Kane era. Just will they become more, you know, like we've always said with United, when they've lost a player, do they become more fluid as a result of losing a player? The problem with that with Harry Kane is he was so, he wasn't like a rigid number nine like Ronaldo. He wasn't someone who's going to be a target man and completely alter the style of the play. He does that because he's a dominant player in terms of personality, but Kane did everything. He was a kind of player who would join in the build-up, and he was able to get on the end of everything. So a player like that is obviously going to change. It's like losing, not exactly the same, but you'll know where I'm coming from. Like losing Ronaldo the first time round, or losing Rooney at his peak. Like a player that instrumental in everything that the team does, so much so that I know Son has replaced him as captain. He's been a great player, but even he, it just wouldn't have the same kind of influence as Kane. And there was a time when I would say that they were, you know what I mean, they were very close in terms of quality, but Kane became so influential over the last 3 years that, as would a player of that quality, that they're obviously going to miss him. It's going to take some time to get used to playing without him, and that time isn't going to be learned in the space of a week. So that's a good thing for United as far as we're concerned going into the game. And the first home game without Kane, obviously they're going to be up for it, but he's going to be missing. So it's a big sort of opportunity for us to take advantage of that. Having said that, Wolves were good last week, and their organisation is looks to be improving. I mean, there are a few Spurs fans who I do follow on social media, Phil, who talk about the work has kind of gone under the radar because it's been overshadowed by Kane. Now, I don't know if that's true. We're going to see that tomorrow. What are you expecting from this? Are you expecting it to be a little bit easier because we don't have Kane, or do you think that United ought to be cautious in what to expect?
No, I definitely think the latter. I think they do look like a good side. Even through pre-season, even though obviously Kane was still there, they did impress me. And I think with the players that they have still got, obviously Harry Kane was the main player. That's obvious to say. But I do think they have still got a lot of attacking quality. Kulusevski, Richarlison and Son are three very good players. And on the day, they can cause problems for any outfit. So I think you add James Maddison into the mix as well now, who can obviously, create things and will, pick up them pockets in the midfield and look for them balls into them front three. So, yeah, I think we're definitely going to have to be, up for it and sort of, that midfield battle will need to be, where it's won and lost. I think, obviously, the other night against Wolves, that was where, we kept getting exposed time after time, and the gaps at some points in the game was ridiculous. So that will definitely need addressing. I think, whether the manager tinkers with, the three players that started the other night, or, maybe reverts to a sort of different formation, possibly brings McTominay into that and just gives you that little bit more solid base and sort of protection in the midfield. For me, I think obviously Sancho will come back into the team for Garnacho, just on the basis that I think the other night he sort of struggled a little bit, and being a young player, you need to protect them at times and dip them in and out the team as and when. So I'm confident in the fact that I think we can't really play any worse, and I'm hoping that we can have a positive reaction from the other night, because I think that was a little bit of a kick up the backside, really. And the manager will be, wanting a lot better and a lot more from the players. So I think that will work in our favour. However, I think it will be a tougher game. Obviously, it's an away game at Tottenham, who aren't really, after Harry Kane leaving, are probably, people aren't tipping them to do much this season. They'll probably be, people saying they'll be happy probably to finish in the top six, which, is sort of a frightening situation, really, because they've probably got nothing to lose. They can just, have a free hit this season, and, the expectations aren't probably there from everybody else. Whereas I think, in-house, they will be looking at it and saying, we could be a dark horse this year, because they have got a quality group of players on the day, and if they can get a little bit of consistency within that, they will be a good side this year for me.
Yeah, I'm still surprised that Kane went, it happened. So I know that it was protracted, people talk about it all summer, but the speed in which the transfer happened caught me by surprise. I was like, oh, God, he's going over there. Like, still thinking to a few of us. I know that Dan's one of them. We joke about it, me and Dan, that, that United might still hijack the deal, as unlikely as that seemed. But that would have been the scenario where United might have done that because... because Spurs had accepted an offer and they accepted it was going. So if United had come in with just like a little bit more, Kane might have dug in and done that. But
I was shocked myself, Wayne, to be honest, that he went. I do actually still think, though, that he sort of probably will come back maybe after a couple of years. I think he'll probably go over there and try and win a couple of trophies. I think he will definitely want to come back and sort of finish his career off in the Premier League and get that goal scoring record. Whether he goes back to Tottenham or whatever is yet to be seen. But I think that will be what is in his head, because I think he's obviously worked so hard to get to a point in his career where he's so close to breaking it. And I think it would be you know, silly if he didn't try and get that and sort of, you know, finish his career off with sort of that to his name. Because as I say, I think a lot of people look at professional footballers and base their careers on what they've won and how many trophies they've got and stuff like that. And I think for Harry, obviously being, you know, brought up at Tottenham, being at the club from such a young age, he's shown that loyalty, which, you know, a lot of is rare in this day and age. You know, you don't really see a lot of loyalty in football anymore. But I do think that, you know, for him, he's probably done the thing what he thought in terms of he will want to, you know, have some silverware to his name. And you know, with Bayern Munich, the likelihood is, you know, he is going to win the Bundesliga and potentially have a couple of trophies maybe in the other domestic cups in Germany and potentially a Champions League. So you can't blame him. Hopefully, you know, he does come back and, you know, break the record, because I do rate him very highly as a player. I was quite upset and gutted, really, we didn't put that late bid in and bring him in, because I think he would have catapulted us to, you know, even higher levels than you know, we are at present. But yeah, as I say, it's a different Tottenham, and I think, you know, for a few reasons it could work in a positive for him, because I think obviously playing with Harry Kane, he is a bespoke player and sort of he does do things that you know, not many can do in terms of dropping in the holes and playing them balls in behind. He doesn't just, you know, score goals. He has got a lot more to his game. So yeah, it is obviously a loss for them, but I think with the quality that you've still got, it is going to be still a very tough game.
Yeah, Dan says, don't get me started on Kane. Kane aside, Spurs is difficult to deal with. The big miss was not going in for Rice, exactly what we need and wanted United last night, according to many reports. Yeah, I think if there was a game, the game where Rashford scored in the last minute a couple of seasons ago, and Rice was unbelievably dominant in that game. It was unbelievable. And I remember him afterwards really talking up the stage in Old Trafford. It was the biggest come and get me plea that I've ever seen from a player in the last sort of 5 years. It was dead obvious. But he's gone to Arsenal and singing Arsenal song apparently and all that sort of stuff. You know, I thought that we'd use Harry Maguire as a make-weight in that. Before we go, Phil, there is talk of Maguire, the move to West Ham might be back on, fueled by talk that he's not in the squad to travel to the Spurs game, which sort of lends itself to the idea that if it's not West Ham, he's in talk somewhere else to go. We could say this about a number of different things going on the club at the moment, but you would feel that it's better if it's dealt with swiftly for all parties, especially Maguire. I mean, it's the kind of criticism that he's got in the last week. I mean, I find it a little bit unfair that, you know, he signed a contract. The contract, apparently, this is what it comes down to, but he got a bonus for the Champions League that's reflected in a higher wage, and he wants that reflected in a payout. People are saying, oh, well, there's no such precedent for that in modern football. There is. It's in many transfers, if you choose to look. I mean, Sanchez, when he went to Inter, we literally had to pay to get rid of him because of the contract that was given to him before. So it has been done. I think even Lukaku, there might have been something there, but it's definitely the case with Sanchez. And I don't, on that score, do I blame Maguire for sort of weighing it out and seeing what would happen? No, because it's kind of entitled to him. He's got to take a step down. He's kind of accepting that. Well, he wants the deal that's best for him. And I can understand that. The other side of it is that it is a step down and you would be reluctant to leave United, because once you leave United, you're not going back. And, you know, it's a big step for him to make at this moment in time. I'm not going to ask you to comment on all the contractual stuff, Phil, but you've got to agree, right? It's better if it gets dealt with swifter for him and for everyone, really. So we don't want... I'm not in the process of buying on players, and I don't really want to do that with Maguire. And I think I'm seeing it. He's a target for abuse anyway, and I'm seeing more of that. So it's better for him, better for everyone, if he just sort of gets dealt with swiftly.
Yeah, no, 100% agree with that. I think, you know, for him as a player, he obviously wants to be playing football. And if he's not going to be playing regular first-team football at Manchester United, then Although, as you just touched on there, you are reluctant to leave the club because of everything that the club stands for and everything that comes with it. I think from a professional and a personal standpoint, you know, you need to, you know, look at yourself. And as I say, you will want to be playing regular football in terms of keeping his place in the England setup, you know, keeping himself match fit and just, you know, that there's nothing worse really than, you know, sitting on a bench and not feeling like you're part of the, you know, team, and he's been getting a little bit of abuse and all that kind of stuff. I think if he goes somewhere now, you know, if it is West Ham or wherever he goes, it's a fresh start for him. He can, you know, be excited about, you know, getting his career back on track. He's probably going to be a regular starter, you would think, if he's going to move to somewhere that's a little bit lower down. And yeah, you know, that there's nothing better than playing games of football. So I think it's the right time for him. As you say, it's best for both parties. He's not really going to be in the manager's plans, you know, with everyone being fit. So yeah, you know, can get a little bit of money back for him and, you know, put that towards another player. And he can go on and, you know, kick on with his own career. And as you say, that's the best thing for both parties.
Yeah, agreed. Right, well, so that's us for this week. Short one this week because we don't have Lee to sort of keep the side bubbling over with conversation. Phil and I straight to the point. Yeah, good result against Wolves. Not a great performance. Anana did well. Spurs, tricky prospect at the end. We'll give you a little bit more conversation than that. Phil and I will be back next week, hopefully with Lee, maybe even with Dave as well. I know Dave's meant to be over. I don't know if he'll be with me for it. Hopefully he will. And we'll be back. Well, Dave and I will be back with Paul on Monday morning. If you've watched live on YouTube or Facebook, please subscribe, like as well, and leave a review on the platform you're listening on. If you're listening on the audio podcast, even if you're not listening, if you're watching it live on YouTube and you've got the audio podcast downloaded, please go and give us a review on that, because it really helps us out on there. We'll be back next week, guys. Thanks a lot for your time, and stay safe, stay well. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.